Ever been to Interlaken? My next guest writes the book Music, Lakes, and Blue Corduroy, a memoir of Interlaken. So we join you, Cindy House-Glowinski, about your journey and your latest work. Good morning, Cindy.
Morning.
Thank you for being here and writing about what many may know and relate to, and you certainly presenting what is described as a story of going to Interlaken, also the story to many of us who went to other camps as well. So, Cindy, congratulations on your work.
Oh, thank you.
All right, take us back. Give me the decade that we are discussing.
Okay, I was at Interlaken from 1964 to 1966.
Wonderful.
So the decade is the 60s.
Yes. And, of course, if you can give us a little Interlaken 101, I trust camp still happens in the 2020s, 21s. I know we're in a pandemic time, but is there still an opportunity for future Cindy Glowinskis?
Oh, yes, yes. It's still very, very much alive and actually much more developed than it was when I was there. It has had to make some adjustments because of the pandemic. And probably if you want to know more about Interlaken, I would refer you to the website, interlaken.org, because, you know, I mean, I can't really speak that well, that much about Interlaken today. I mostly know about it, how it was when I was there.
Yes, because you do present an insider's look at what it was like to attend Interlaken's National Music Camp and Arts Academy, yes, in the 1960s. What brought you to the camp, Cindy?
Okay, I had started taking violin lessons when I was in the fourth grade, and I grew up in Des Moines, Iowa. And I started in the public schools and then got to a really excellent private teacher. Her name was Mary Sexton, and she had some connections with Interlaken. She would actually go up there every summer and teach some workshops during what was called post-camp, which was like the week after camp ended when adults went up there to do things. And she helped a lot of her students get scholarships to go up there. And in order to go to get a scholarship, I had to learn to play the viola, not just the violin. And that was because in those days, not an awful lot of students played the viola, and they needed more violas. They had plenty of violinists, but they needed more violas to fill out their orchestras. So, and, of course, there was a rather extensive application process that you had to go through, and that involved recording a tape and filling out a lot of papers and getting recommendations. And then when I got to the camp, I also ended up applying to go to the academy, which was this year-round school that is also still up and running. And it's had been founded in 1962, so it was just a couple of years old. Mm-hmm. So that was a whole different application process.
But yet you landed, I trust, the scholarship, and you went.
Yes, I did. Yes.
Wonderful. Let's dig a little bit into certainly what you present in Music, Lakes, and Blue Corduroy. First of all, in general, what was your experience? Did you go with the intent of learning to play better, to attend a camp and get away from home? What was the, take us back to that memory.
Lots of things. Yes, I did hope to learn to play better. I think part of it was an ego trip, wanting to do something that made me special, and I felt really special going there.
Sure.
And, you know, just having an adventure and being also in a beautiful place. I mean, Iowa has its own beauty, but that was very different than Michigan and being up in the woods where there were lakes. I had gone to a camp up in northern Wisconsin that I loved, and so I knew what that was like. And so I was anxious to be there and just, you know, a chance to connect with people. The big emphasis in Interlaken, and I should say at that time, which may have changed, I don't know, was on orchestra playing, which made it a little different than some places where they're focusing more on developing people as soloists. And the philosophy there was that if you, you know, that was really important for people to learn a lot of repertoire. So I knew it was a chance, if I ever wanted to play in a professional orchestra, to really learn a lot of symphonic repertoire. And that was a big attraction.
Wonderful. Again, your work is described as inspiring, an unflinching memoir that evokes in wonderful details and I'm getting to my question, detailing the joys and heartaches of a young woman hopelessly in love with music and life. Give me a joy, give me a heartache.
A joy. Oh, gosh, there's so many things. I think the biggest joy was just the music itself and some of just really peak experiences when you'd worked really hard and on a piece and it came off, especially in some of the big orchestral pieces. And one joy I think a lot of people experience who go to Interlaken is at the very end of the camp, they have something called Les Preludes. And it's a big extravaganza where they have all the orchestras and bands and choirs and everybody they can possibly include on this one stage. And they're all playing this piece by Franz Liszt called Les Preludes. And they even have dancers, and they even have dancers on the roof of the place, believe it or not. It's an outdoor place, so you can see them. And so that's a big peak experience for people, a big joy. As far as the other side of it, the pain, the heartache, you know, I think the hardest thing was when a performance didn't come off well. And there is one chapter in the book where I talk about practicing my heart out on a Mendelssohn's violin concerto, the first movement, for a concerto competition, and then getting up and just completely getting so nervous that I completely fell on my face. And you know what that was like, and that was very painful. So, but the experiences in Interlaken were more joy than pain.
Yes, thank you for that. And in general, this is described again, a book that will speak to anyone who has ever been to, of course, part of a fine arts program in their teens. But does it also reach out to those who just have attended camp? I have many memories of camping in the 60s in these kind of ways. Girl Scout camp. I think I attended, I don't know if I did the music camp, maybe a sports camp. Will it still radiant with all of us?
Oh, sure. You know, In fact, I just spoke with my cousin yesterday who doesn't know anything about music, and he loved the book. You know, he hadn't been to camp, but well, maybe he had. I don't know if he had or not. But, you know, I think there's a lot of just adolescent experiences that people can relate to, you know, things like getting crushes on people who don't love you back, or, on the other hand, the person who wants you as you don't want. Things like, you know, trying to figure out who you are. And certainly with sports, there's a lot of carryover, you know, in terms of having to perform and working really hard and sometimes doing really well and sometimes not doing well, and having these dreams of that often are not very realistic that we often have, you know, and thinking we can just do absolutely anything if we just work at it, all of that. So.
Cindy Hausch-Glavinsky with us again. Music Lakes and Blue Cordon Corduroy, a memoir of Interlaken. Have you been back?
Yes, I've been back quite a lot because I live in Ann Arbor, so, you know, it's like 4 or 5 hours away. I can't go back right now because the place is closed to outsiders, although the academy is in session right now. But, you know, and that makes me really sad because I had hoped, you know, when the book came out, I could go back and see people and talk about the book, and I'm going to have to wait on that, but hopefully that won't be forever. Nope. But I do keep in touch. The other thing is Interlaken has a very active alumni community, and we all keep in touch with each other on social media, so that's been nice.
Now, the big question, did you use that violin or viola in a professional way or in an avocational way?
Both, really. I did play professionally in some minor league symphonies. I was in the Toledo Symphony, the Ann Arbor Symphony, and the Flint Symphony. And I taught private students in my home. I was always sort of divided, though, between music and writing. And then I kind of took off with the writing stuff and ended up being a social worker, actually, doing other things. So at that point, you know, I still did music, but I did it as an amateur. And then later in life, I got really into singing. And I actually no longer play the violin because of issues with my neck and stuff. So, but I love to sing and play the piano, so yes. I've been doing that.
Yes, I see. You've sung in the University of Michigan Choral Union and more. So, well, you'll never lose the talent for the arts, thanks, hopefully, to that Interlaken training. A memoir of Interlaken entitled Music Lakes and Blue Corduroy. Cindy, how do we find out more information about your work?
You can go to my website. It's that's Cindy Glavinsky. That's CindyGlavinsky.com.
Thanks for your story.
Okay, thank you.